Welcome, Voltron fans. This is Mark Morrell, your host for Let's Voltron, the official Voltron podcast, and I'm here with my co-host, Greg Tyler. Welcome, Greg.
Welcome to you, Mark, and Voltron fans across the universe. It's great to be back, as always. And you know, when we normally record a podcast episode, we don't play around. We just get right into Voltron. But in this episode, we're going to get to play around and talk Voltron. Right, Mark?
That's right. We had a very special event that just recently happened, and we wanted to try to get on top of it as soon as possible. Of course, there were pictures that came out over the New York Toy Fair weekend from the February 18th to the February 21st. And of course, we've already released those pictures, obviously, through Twitter, through Facebook, through everywhere we could. And our most recent episode where we reviewed the depths also included information that came out of New York Toy Fair. So we had pictures that we posted on letsvoltron.com/89. So if you haven't had a chance to see that yet, make sure you go out and see those. But we're also going to be providing additional pictures that we got on this podcast, because we actually have a couple of people that were on the spot reporters for us while they were there at New York Toy Fair.
Yes, and we're very grateful to those people. We'll talk with them shortly. Neither Mark nor I were able to attend New York Toy Fair, unfortunately, but by having these two people on the street, as it were, we're able to bring you some really good coverage of the upcoming Voltron items.
And, you know, some people will say, well, aren't the pictures enough to show what really was going on at New York Toy Fair? Not really. You know, if you're not physically there to see these things and you're not physically there to talk to the people from Playmates Toys, then you're not getting the same experience as those people who are just looking at pictures, you know? So there's obviously differences between some of the toys that you're going to see at New York Toy Fair versus what they will actually look like when they come out in packaging.
Right. And, you know, it's fun to hear people interact and actually to interact with Playmates Toys and other toy makers. We had the privilege of doing that with Jeff Trojan of Playmates Toys not long ago, talking about the first wave of toys. And as I recall, we had some questions for him, and he answered as accurately and completely as he could, with the understanding that there was a lot that he could not say definitively. Well, with a lot of the releases that have been announced during Toy Fair weekend, we see that a lot of the things that Jeff alluded to and sort of, you know, winked and nodded about are actually coming to pass. And this is really exciting stuff.
And one of the cool things, I did actually get to see, somebody had posted a video. I don't remember whether it was Pixel Dan or somebody like that, but they had posted a interview that they did. And I think it was with Jeff, where they talked about what kinds of things could we expect in the future from Playmates Toys. And they basically said, if you've thought about it, like if you've thought about having a toy that's related to a character that isn't out yet, then Playmates Toys has also thought about it.
Yeah, Playmates Toys, if you're not familiar with them, are legendary in their own right for their Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles line. I mean, the company's been around for decades, but TMNT really put them on the map in the eyes of many kids of all ages and collectors, and they have done just about everything you can imagine with TMNT, and they continue to come up with innovative and fun products for that line. They also produce licensed Star Trek toys for about 10 or 15 years, beginning in the late 80s or early 90s. I was addicted to those things back then. They were so well made, and I'm excited that Playmates has the license to make Voltron Legendary Defender toys, and I'm really looking forward to seeing these new items, these newly announced items, in stores sometime later this year.
And also at New York Toy Fair, they also had another line that's coming up soon, and that's their Ben 10 line, which is also on Cartoon Network coming up soon.
That's exciting. Now, who had the Ben 10 toy license before Playmates? Because I remember seeing Ben 10 toys in stores within the last few years.
I have no idea. Huh. Well, I really don't know that.
The fact that Playmates has it, it can only be a good thing for Ben 10 fans. That's really cool.
Yeah, so they have a product that's on Cartoon Network, they have a product that's on Nickelodeon, and they have a product that's on Netflix.
Wow.
So they're stretching themselves out pretty good.
Well, good for them. I've been a Playmates Toys fan for many years. I look forward to talking with our guests about what they saw at Toy Fair.
Right, so do I. So why don't we bring them on, okay?
Let's do it.
All right. All right, so we have two people that were actually at New York Toy Fair from February 18th to the 21st, and we want to introduce them right now. These are people that actually got inside the Playmates Toys booth at New York Toy Fair. So the first person I want to introduce is Grant Berkmeyer.
Hello.
Hi, Grant. How you doing?
Good, good. Good to be here.
Thank you for joining us on Let's Voltron.
Now, to people who have hung out in the Voltron.com forums, Grant Berkmeyer posts as Grant B, and just as I post as Dudley Drewright. So, Grant, it is a thrill to have you on. You know, we've posted back and forth several times over the years. It's great to hear your voice.
Thanks, thanks. I feel like thrill may be selling it too hard, but thanks.
it has been a moderately positive experience. How's that?
Sounds good.
Okay. And the second person that we want to bring on is a person who's already been on the podcast previously. She was on the podcast for our third anniversary show. So I want to welcome back Sarah Fetter.
Thank you so much for having me yet again. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us, Sarah.
Yeah. And you, Mark, you and I met Sarah at New York Comic Con back in October.
Yes, we did.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's great to have you back.
Thank you so much.
So let's get just right to this toy stuff, because this is what people go gaga over, okay? All these great toys that we've already seen in the stores, and, you know, obviously there's a lot more distribution that has to happen all over the world, and there's a lot of people that are frustrated that they don't have their Playmates toys yet, but Voltron is an international phenomenon, if you want to call it that, but being able to get brand new Voltron Legendary Defender toys and have them in the stores on a regular basis is just something most of us can't even fathom at this point. So I want to know, from your guys' perspectives, from Grant and Sarah, what was it like going to New York Toy Fair and being able to see something that nobody has actually physically seen yet, when we're talking about some of the stuff that's coming out in the fall of 2017?
As someone who does merchandising, it was super, super exciting and interesting from that aspect. But I mean, generally as a fan, just seeing the booth that they had set up was super cool. I wasn't as into, you know, some of the other items that they were showcasing, because I don't watch those shows necessarily. But just getting to actually see what the scale's going to look like, you know, what they're going to look like combined. And, you know, they did like a little demo with the, I believe it's the ones that are already out, and showed us kind of some of the cool tricks that it'll do, like the Black Lion registering certain things when you remove or add parts of the other lions. So it was, you know, Toy Fair was already me geeking out and just being really excited, but getting in to see all of that was 1,000 times more exciting. It felt like New York Comic Con, kind of.
That's cool. Had you been to Toy Fair before?
No, this was my first time.
Oh, wow.
How about you, Grant?
Yeah, this was my first Toy Fair as well. And I don't know how much the listeners know about Toy Fair, but Toy Fair is it's a trade show. It's not a fan show. You can only get in if you you know, have an affiliation with a buyer or distributor, or maybe the press. So it's kind of funny walking around. I was there somewhat legitimately, as a friend of mine owns a T-shirt website. Do you mind if I plug it quick?
Yeah, go right ahead.
It's Ripped Apparel, RIPTApparel.com. They are one of those T-shirt of the day websites. Anyway, my friend is one of the co-founders, and he was going to Toy Fair, and he said, "Hey, Grant, you want to come?" So I came with him. So I'm walking around with a badge that says buyer. You know, I'm clearly not making any business decisions for my friend's website. So, you know, so every time I go in the booth, they kind of see buyer, and they're like, "Hey, what kind of stuff do you sell?" So, you know, I spent most of the day feeling a little bit like a minor fraud, but still geeking out over the various things that I was able to see. But I wasn't able to get into the it sounds like Sarah was in the Voltron presentation that would have been Saturday afternoon or evening. Is that right, Sarah?
Yeah, I think it was 4:30.
Yeah, I tried getting in there earlier, and they kept giving me the runaround. You know, there's walls up. They don't let, you know, just anybody wander through. I had to make an appointment, and I couldn't reach the right PR person. So I didn't get in until Sunday after the pictures had already hit the web. But I still got in to see this stuff. And, you know, I made a beeline straight for the Metal Defender stuff. She did let me pick them up and handle them. They are prototypes. I was disappointed that I couldn't see them combined, but they still looked pretty cool. They're a little smaller, but I guess that's good, because when you have die-cast figures and they get large, they get kind of hard to pose and heavy. They felt like a pretty good size, more comparable to the recent Soul of Chogokin Voltron. I don't know if any of you guys have held that in your hand.
Not yet.
I haven't gotten to hold it, but man, we definitely saw it.
A friend of mine has one, and it is very nice. I think that Solotrobian may be the best diecast version of the classic Voltron. You know, I've already got the toy. I got, I think, two earlier versions of the Toynami, and I kind of said, I need another classic Voltron. Like, I need another leg. But you know, once I held it in my hand, I'm really rethinking that opinion. I might end up getting it. But anyway, back to Toy Fair. So, the Metal Defenders, I really like them. I'm looking forward to getting them in October. I'm sad that they didn't have one combined. But when you held one in your hand, you could tell that they weren't quite ready. They're probably still refining that mold. They're probably, I'm going to guess the combined version. If they put it out there, it might have required some glue or reinforcement. You know, it's just not ready yet.
Right.
Which is fine at this stage. I'm sure they'll have it finalized by the end of the year. I think it's October is when the release is.
And you actually got to see the packaging that like Yellow Lion would be in, right?
Yes. Yep. And now that I wish I'd picked up the package and kind of looked at the back, but I just looked at it on the wall and it looks pretty nice. Although the figure wasn't in there. It was just a cardboard insert, but it's a nice package. And I think you can see pictures of it online right now.
Right.
I got to tell you, I have dreamt of going to Toy Fair for years. So I envy both of you for having gone and seen this awesome stuff.
It was a very cool experience.
Sarah, would you be able to describe to us what it was like getting there on Saturday? Did you actually see the full presentation?
Yeah. So basically what they had you do, and well, actually I'll go back. I had checked in earlier that morning and they said that I needed to contact someone. And so I handed my card over. And then since I was getting ready to go meet some friends for dinner, I was like, oh, I'll just stop by one more time, see if I can just get some pictures of the booth or, just see what I can get just in case I don't make it back or just in case anything happens. And then the person that I needed to talk to actually was right there. And she was like, oh, hey, the media is lining up right now. Just go ahead and hop in line. We'll just add you to the list. Like, just sit there and talk to everybody else until we're ready to go. It's in 15 minutes. And so I was like, yes, okay, done. Like, sat down and got to talk to a bunch of the other guys in line. They're all press for different, different websites. I think Toy Arc and a couple other ones were there. And so they basically divided us into groups of about six or seven and gave us kind of like a handler to make sure that we didn't like abscond with any of the toys. it was tempting, let me tell you. But so they basically let us through in groups. And since I was there for just the Voltron portion, they're like, you don't really have to go do the rest of the stuff. Like, this is what you're here for. You can just stay there. And I like stood right next to the guy who basically did the main work for all of it. And I cannot for the life of me remember his name. He's a very nice gentleman, but he was happy to talk to me about all of the development stuff and the timelines and like weights and like answered every single ridiculous question that I could possibly think of and let me like touch him and, do whatever. And it was so cool to be able to do that. Yeah.
I'm jealous.
It was really cool.
What was the general sense that you got from that presentation?
It was kind of a little bit of what I thought already. So with merchandising, it's kind of a tricky thing to do, especially with a property that's effectively a relaunch and when other prior relaunches of it have not gone as well as initially anticipated. So I think there's probably some hesitation. I think you kind of see that at New York, not New York Toy Fair, but New York Comic Con, where there wasn't a giant array of stuff. You had a couple boutiques, you had the jewelry, you had the t-shirts, you had the posters, and that was pretty much it at that time. And I think that's kind of just a cautionary thing for them because you don't really know how fans are going to react and how they're going to take to something until, really season one launches. They obviously had the added background of, doing Avatar Last Airbender, and so they had that kind of, I guess nerd cred, you could say. But I think there was probably some hesitation on the merchandising side of things to kind of wait and see what happens because you're effectively doing sampling and doing development and outsourcing to all of these different companies, depending on how you do it, can be very both time-consuming and very, very costly. So I think that's kind of why we're seeing a lot more stuff popping out now. I get newsletters from the licensing. There's like a licensing distro for all the stuff. And they just announced, that Playmates had gotten it and, a couple others. So it's kind of interesting to see where the gaps are. So like when you have the Playmates toys that just released I don't remember what series they're called, but the ones you can buy on Amazon right now. But you see that you've got that delay. And partially it was because they didn't expect how many people were going to just straight up order these. And the same with the masks and the swords and stuff like that, like those haven't been in stock on anything. Like we saw them at, you know, the Voltron party, obviously. And I think they got dropped into a couple stores, but you know, they just didn't expect the sheer amount of response that you're going to get. And since manufacturing is a process that can take such a long time, having stuff out by New York Toy Fair is also very difficult, because about 2 or 3 weeks before New York Toy Fair is Chinese New Year and the factories don't work. Like it is full shutdown. So when you're trying to get stuff out and you're trying to meet demand when a season drops, you know, I don't remember when it dropped, because
it was January 20th.
January. Yeah. So it literally dropped right before Toy Fair, and only season one had come out yet. So it's kind of a interesting balancing act that they have to play, deciding how hard to go without knowing too much of what's out there. And, you know, obviously now that it's been so well received and it's got such great ratings and the stuff is sold, I think we're going to see a bigger influx of everything, especially now that it's selling.
Yeah. So fans, please be patient. Your swag is coming to a store near you.
Yes.
Yeah, I think the thing is they had said something about the fact that the whole manufacturing from R&D up until the time that this officially goes into stores usually takes about 18 months.
Yes.
And somehow Playmates was able to knock it down to 12 months to get these first initial sets of, you know, toys and figures out.
Yeah. Yeah. When he told me that, I was just like, oh my God, because that's insane, especially for something when you... Voltron has so many moving parts that being able to cut down 6 months of production and development and testing and, you know, fitting everything together is just props to Playmates. Like, that is absurd.
And the fact that they came out in such good quality. I mean, yes. You would have expected that there would have been like a lot of returns because things weren't, you know, working really well or anything like that. But these worked like a charm.
Yes.
The only consistent gripe that I've heard is the difficulty of removing the legendary Green Lion from legendary Black Lion. But that has been a fairly minor gripe. Once you figure it out, it's not a huge deal. But yeah, in general, my goodness, these are great toys.
Yep.
Plus the fact that when we were at New York Comic Con and we were at the Lion Forge booth, was the first time that we saw this little card that said on there that the Playmates toys would be coming out in spring of 2017.
Right.
And then we were excited because we didn't think it would be that soon. And then when we heard that there was actually going to be some that were going to be coming out at the beginning of January, wow. And that you could pre-order in December, wow.
That's a lot of just, wows, Mark.
Well, I'm just saying that for something that we weren't expecting yet, and then they say spring 2017, and then they say January and pre-orders in December, it just floored us. I mean, that is incredible.
I totally agree. So it sounds like a fun presentation. Gee whiz.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I'm a little jealous because when I came in on Sunday, I just had one PR person, you know, kind of hovering near me, and she really couldn't answer any specific questions. She hadn't even seen the announcement card about the 78 episode commitment and such. Wasn't on the wall on Sunday afternoon. So
that wasn't even on the wall?
No, they must have took it down after, I guess it was up on Saturday, but it wasn't there on Sunday.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I asked her about that, and she hadn't even seen it. I was like, sounds like Sarah got the full experience, and I don't know, I got what I could get.
All right, well, here's the thing. Did Sarah, at any point, did they say to you guys, don't tell anybody about these things?
No. So the funny thing is I, when I was going through and just kind of taking pictures, no one paid any attention to that little plaque because it was like, yeah, whatever. Because there was another picture that I took that I sent to you guys that was the launch dates. It was the graph.
Right.
And so I think most people, like, it wasn't the toys that they were there to take pictures of. So they just kind of, no one really took pictures of it. And I was like, yeah, you know, whatever. I'll take a look. I saw it and I made the most horrendous noise because that was the first time that, you know, we'd gotten anything confirmed. And so I'm like standing there staring at it, take a quick picture. And I'm like, I can't post this. I don't know. Cause I was, you know, I was there not, I didn't want to get you guys in any trouble because I was like, I don't know how this is going to work, you know, And I also didn't want them to like take it down. So I was just like, took a picture of it, let it go. And then after I got back to the hotel and sent you guys the pictures, I took a nap and woke up and everyone was like, Sarah, did you see? Like, we're getting this many episodes and this is what's happening. And I was like, yeah.
Well, we had actually talked about this on the podcast a long time ago, that there was a story that had come out about Studio Mir signing a contract with DreamWorks for 78 episodes. But they didn't say what the show was at the time. Yep. You know what I mean? And, of course, we all kind of figured that out. But so at the time we knew that they were in contract with Studio Mir for 78 episodes. So we had a guess that obviously we could get 6 seasons out of this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, you know, that doesn't mean, and we don't want to give anybody any indication that once 78 hits, that's it, Voltron's done. It could go beyond that.
It's just a commitment.
Right. That's just a commitment by contract. Right. There are such things as extensions to contracts.
Yep.
So when a show is identified as having a certain season, like when they officially announce that season 3 will be coming out, they usually don't like to do that until the network that it's being shown on, in this case Netflix, actually says, yes, it's okay to announce that season 3 will be coming out, and here is the exact date that it will be coming out. Right now, they don't have an exact date. All we know is that card said September of 2017 for 13 episodes.
Yeah, and we need to keep in mind that that is subject to change. So, you know, what we saw or what you saw on that plaque isn't necessarily what's going to happen, you know, as the months unfold. But as of now, it sure seems promising.
And as we've seen before, a card that said spring 2017 on it doesn't necessarily mean spring of 2017 is when you're first going to see Playmates Toys. As we saw, it was even before that. So who knows? There may be a possibility that season 3 comes out even before September.
Yeah.
You know, based on things that we've seen before.
Yeah, the other thing to keep in mind is that obviously 78 divided by 13 is 6 for a set of 6 drops on Netflix. One thing to keep in mind is that season 1 had originally been announced as a 13-episode season, and then it was revised to be 11 because they edited the first 3 episodes into the feature-length The Rise of Voltron premiere. So it's possible that whatever the real episode count is for this initial contract may be slightly lower than 78, depending on how they choose to edit shows going forward.
I think we can count on the number of minutes, though.
That's true.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And the thing with that is also that we want to make sure that people understand that 78 episodes, when Greg was talking about how that first 3 was turned into a movie, we've already talked to Joaquin and Lauren, and they pretty much said that every season from here on out isn't going to do that same thing. So, you know, you should pretty much expect that it's going to be 13 episode drops.
Okay. Good to know.
Before we move away from the toys, I wanted to ask Sarah, did you get a closer look at the action figures than I did? I was wondering, it seems like some of the action figures look like they may be more closer to final versions, maybe even factory paint. But when I was looking at some of the pictures online, I see that the Keith figure, the one that fits in the lion, looks like that might be somewhat hand-painted, maybe a not final version. Did you get a close look at any of the paint decos to see if they were maybe hand-painted protos or if they were possibly final versions?
I'm actually not sure, just because at least when we manufacture things, the painting process usually isn't that hard to do by factory. So I'm not sure if it was just my guess from not creating action figures but creating other things is that these were probably the samples sent over, my guess is prior to Chinese New Year or directly after Chinese New Year. My guess is they're probably going to go back through revisions and do some tweaks and stuff like that and adjust the paint and all that.
Certainly.
I think the Keith figure and the Lance figure, I believe that they're the duplicates of what you see with the set of 5.
Sure. But if you look at, say, the Keith figure that fits in the lion, like the visor is painted solid blue instead of being clear plastic.
Yeah.
I noticed that too.
Yeah. That could obviously change by the time these things come out. But one distinction that we wanted to make was that they are going to have 5 separate paladins in their uniforms with helmets that come off.
Yes.
Right. But the 2 figures that are coming with red and blue lion in the Mega Lion are specific to that lion. So they're going to be expected to sit in the cockpit, and those helmets do not come off. That's what we heard.
So they are distinct molds, or at least possibly different heads, maybe.
Yes, The idea was that those are just going to stick with the lion and stay in the cockpit. Now, obviously, you can still switch those figures out with the other 5 figures that are, you know, the ones that where the helmets come off.
Hmm.
That's what we heard.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just one other comment. Anybody else want to complain that no Allura?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, these assortments are usually done in blocks of four or eight or, you know, even numbers, you know, just so they could fill a shipping compartment, a shipping carton or whatever. And so, you know, you got to be real careful about what you choose. Now, having said that, yeah, I'm really bummed that there's no Allura in this wave.
Actually, until just a second ago, I was thinking, oh, there's no girls in this wave. I keep forgetting about Pidge.
Yes.
It's extra interesting too, because, you know, again, speaking purely from our merchandising, getting approvals with, and I'm not saying that I know anything about how DreamWorks does their approvals process or anything like that, but in a lot of cases, whenever we've done stuff, getting first wave, second wave, or third wave things to include a female character is very difficult. Especially,
wow. I'm sure it is.
Yeah, especially if it's a thing, quote unquote, geared up boys.
Yep.
We will eventually be getting Allura and Karan, and maybe, you know, some other extended characters, like maybe Shay, maybe the Erujian King, you know, all these other types of characters. Obviously, maybe some of the commanders that are part of the Galra Empire, that right. kind of thing. But, you know, if we're thinking about it, they're thinking about it.
Definitely.
Right. So why don't we spin through the actual all new toys that were announced at Toy Fair? I'm looking on my screen here and I see that there looks like an assortment of 8 new basic action figures are going to be released. So we have each of the 5 Paladins. I see that there's a shoulder cannon version of Voltron. I see Zarkon and then the Robeast that had been featured on the Balmera. What did you guys think of these basic figures?
They're all very nice. I won't lie. I'm always drawn to the robots. The smaller Robeast probably won't get added to my collection, but for people who are interested in those, I'm sure they'll be very happy with them. And the paint jobs look great. I'm sure I didn't handle them, but I'm sure the articulation is decent, and the Paladins look great.
Okay, Sarah.
I'm kind of in the same boat. If they had released Sendak or Thace or, you know, one of the commanders, I think I'd probably be more inclined to buy them. Zarkon was cool. I'll probably pick up him. Myzax, I'm kind of about. I fiddled with them a little bit. They've got a nice weight to them. You know, they're definitely good toys. Not personally. I'm in it for the robots and the people figures and the Galra, honestly.
You're right. Gotcha. The Galra figures would be cool, too. I prefer those to the Robeast myself.
Yeah. I have to tell you, as a huge fan of the old Panache Place toys with the action figures and the lions and vehicles and all that, I am all about these basic figures. I mean, obviously, all I've seen are photos, but I'm loving what I'm seeing.
So we noticed in the pictures that the Paladins themselves had their Bayards with them, and Shiro had a purple hand. Did the Zarkon figure have something, and did the Robeast have something as like an accessory?
Oh, gosh. You know, I'm not sure I paid that much attention to them.
It looks like Zarkon has a sword. I'm looking at some pictures from another website right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Zarkon's holding a sword.
I think it he's got like the black Bayard. I think that's what he's got.
Okay.
Right, yes.
And I think Myzax launches the ball thing that he's holding.
Right, the energy ball.
Yeah.
Right. And the new Robeast, I'm seeing in a photo here on littlegeeks.com, there's a photo, or in the same photo as this Robeast, on the floor in front of it is this, what looks kind of like a green energy ball with a bunch of electrical tendrils sort of sticking out of it. So I'm thinking that the action feature for that is probably that energy thing. It probably gets launched from that green circle on its chest.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'd overlooked that before, but yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, we were wondering how the, you know, they always have an action gimmick with them, so we were wondering what that would have been.
Yeah.
We talked about the basic figures, okay? There's also the Mega Lions, obviously. They're pretty huge. Did you guys actually get a chance to hold one of them?
Yes.
What does it feel like?
It's really cool. I have the Playmates ones, the ones that just released, and then I have the heavier, like one of the die-cast models, and then I have like the jumbo version.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels kind of like a cross between like the feel of the jumbo, like the 2-foot one that does, it doesn't come apart, but like that kind of solid, more solid plastic. And so it's got a nice kind of heft and weight to it. And it still feels very similar to the ones that are already out, just a little bit bigger. When I talked to the guy about it, it was kind of funny because I think one of the questions that you had me ask was whether or not they would combine. And he just kind of made this hilarious, kind of incredulous laugh and goes, it would be too big for kids. Like, there's just no way. But they, I mean, they're solid figures. I mean, if you look at the scale of the little Lance and Keith, and then they pop open, I believe he said that it's the tail and the mouth that shoot.
Okay.
On those.
That's cool.
It looks like the red one, the red tail is a launcher.
Yeah. Blues as well. And then you can see the one in the mouth. I believe it's the same as both red and blue. They do launch the mouth beams.
But those certainly have a lot of play value for kids.
Mm-hmm.
Being that the pilots are actually in the cockpits.
And you can swap them out. So they're fully interchangeable, which was really cool.
Right.
Yeah, and one thing I noticed is that these Lions are being referred to as Mega Lions, but on the packaging prototypes, they're called Paladin Series. So it looks like, you know, depending on, you know, who you ask, they're either Mega Lions or we have Paladin Series, Red Lion, and Blue Lion. Did you guys get a thought that these are the only two Lions coming out in Wave 2, or will there be a full set of five in this wave?
From what I was talking to him about, it was just they're starting with Blue and Red. Blue and Red will be launching first. I believe they're in line with the store reset that's happening probably in fall. So my guess is we'll probably, judging by their timeline and judging kind of how things are going out, my assumption would be based on their sales, we'll probably see them in this time next year for any of the other ones.
Okay.
That would be my guess. It depends on so many different things.
Yeah, that was the thing we heard. It was just going to be red and blue to start, and then the additional ones would come later. The thing about it is having two waves of Playmates toys come out, you know, prior to Christmas of 2017, you know, that big holiday season where everybody starts getting their stuff, you know, maybe even right after Halloween. We haven't had that chance for any of the Playmates toys yet to hit that surge where people are buying toys for Christmas gifts and stuff like that. So what do you think this second wave will do to increase the sales for that Christmas 2017 rush?
I think my wallet's going to cry. I think that's going to be, I think if we directly after Christmas, when generally you see a downtick in sales and you generally see a kind of a slower start and it starts to peak again in summer, just given the fact that they've been selling out now, I think they're going to be better prepared for it. And I think we're probably going to see stuff stay in stores a little bit longer. But given you're going to have pre-Christmas rush, I bet you're going to see that same kind of demand as parents are buying it for their kids now that it's on season 3. And like,
yeah, sure.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a little bit easier initially to get them, and then it's going to be next to impossible pre-Christmas and you're going to have to wait for 2018.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah.
The parents are buying it for their kids. Sure. That's what's happening.
Yes. I definitely bought this enormous pile of Playmates toys for my daughter. Yes. Uh-huh.
Well, no, it's kind of funny because I went to Target but that's the thing is right now the primary people buying it are 20-somethings, you know, 18 right. to 20-somethings. But once you get the kids into it, and now that things are starting to come out a little bit more, I think you're going to not just be contending with people, you know, our age and up, but it's going to be the parents like, oh, crap, my kid's watching that show. I guess I should get them this thing. I'm in Target getting grocery, whatever, you know. I think you're going to see an uptick in that. So we're going to be competing with parents. And if I, you know, I'll throw down it with a parent. It's fine.
I can tell you for certain. I just talked to some kids that I know that have been watching the show, and they can't wait to be able to play with toys, you know, for Voltron. And I don't think they realize that, you know, the Targets and the Toys R Us and the Walmarts already have some of those things. And it's because this is post Christmas and this is a time of the year where kids typically aren't getting them unless it's their birthday.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I can speak to about three kids from personal experience. My daughter has a Sword Attack Voltron, one of the basic figures. She loves it. Two of my nephews have the full set of five Legendary Lions, and they're all about those things. So they are kid approved.
Yeah. Going on from the Mega Lions with the figures in them to the diecast. And Grant, you had started talking about this before, but I just want to emphasize to the people that you're getting a diecast figure that's only going to be about 8 inches tall when you combine them all together. Is that right?
Yeah, you're probably not far off. As I said, there are no pictures of it in combined form, but the Lions are being die-cast. They're smaller, and I'm sure they probably make them smaller to keep them at a lower price point. as well, you know, because diecast, large diecast figures, you know, can get quite pricey. But yeah, I want to say I picked up the I think the Green Lion, and it seems like it's maybe only 3 or 4 inches long. Yeah, they're pretty modest size, which actually is kind of nice. I don't need another giant Voltron on my desk. I have quite a few in my house already. So getting a more reasonable one that I can manipulate, I'm happy with that.
And these figures are complete diecast, not partially plastic, partial diecast. They're complete diecast, right?
Yeah, I don't remember any plastic parts in the one that I held.
Right.
Yeah. Wow.
That's amazing in and of itself. So, yeah, and I'm looking at just to confirm the height of the combined robot, according to the packaging prototype for the Yellow Lion, and this series is called Metal Defender, by the way, the combined robot will be about 8 inches tall, as Mark said. So that's going to be a really nice size.
All right. So in addition to the diecast, the basic figures, the Mega Lions that they're calling the Paladin series, obviously they had on display the current stuff that's in the stores right now, right? And they were showing those off as well, because this is the first time at New York Toy Fair they've been able to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Last year at this time, there wasn't even any mention of the Voltron toys, right?
Yeah, I don't believe so, because it just got, like I said, it just got announced in the licensing letter basically directly after. I got the email when I was on my flight from Toy Fair to Vegas, and that was when it was fully announced. So I think they probably had to wait for all the PR groups to approve it and all that good stuff for the extension of the license.
So the media kit shows the fully flushed out items that are already in the stores right now that we originally thought we weren't going to get until spring of 2017.
Mm-hmm.
So when they are showing off their real toys and not prototypes, they're showing off the ones that we've already seen in the stores.
Right.
Yep.
So like you said, Sarah, you had seen a card on the wall that gave some information about things that are coming up in 2017 that maybe not everybody was paying attention to.
Yes.
But of course, now it's all over the web.
Mm-hmm.
And people are speculating about, you know, several of these, but we wanted to go over these things. The way it was listed is they said that Voltron Legendary Defender is a key element of Netflix's push for original family content. So currently the commitment is to 78 episodes total. So what we're thinking is who knows, if this becomes the juggernaut that we hope it becomes, then there may be contract extensions which add episodes to the commitment. And it all depends on how well the merchandise surrounding the show sells, right?
Yep.
Right. And of course, even if the show were to end at that point, that's not to say that there couldn't be another program afterward.
Like what?
Another Voltron show.
Oh. Or how about a spinoff like The Chronicles of Kurran?
Yeah, we've been joking about that on the podcast, that we know more about Kurran's backstory than any other character. And we're sort of joking that, yeah, we would have a Chronicles of Kurran series. But anyway.
So there's no, you know, there's nothing saying that a spinoff couldn't happen, right?
Well, that's true. Although I think I'd rather watch a Space Mice spinoff, maybe.
Okay.
I said maybe.
Like My Little Space Mice instead of My Little Pony?
Yeah, what would be the mice version of Brony? I don't know.
I'm thinking for the little kids, you know, for the pre-kindergarten kids.
Will it include X-11?
Ah, yes, the flying mouse thing from the original series, which was really cool anyway.
It's funny, when you mentioned that, my mind instantly went to biker mice from Mars.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I would totally watch that.
Wow. Yeah. That brings back memories.
Yeah, right?
The second thing that was on that card was that 26 episodes were scheduled for 2017. The first 13, season 2, were released on Netflix on January 20th. Season 3 is therefore expected in September of 2017, and no specific date has been set yet for that. So what was your first thoughts on that?
That's all my only thought. Great.
Well, do you think that that's too big of a gap in between season 2 and 3, or are you just satisfied that season 3 is even going to be there?
I'm satisfied that it's going to be there, and I think that this is probably as fast as they can crank them out comfortably anyway.
Yeah, I feel spoiled, honestly, like getting it all like in one go and then getting them in less than a year. Like that's absurd. Like, I am totally here for it. I feel definitely very spoiled by getting it and being able to binge watch it so quickly.
Yeah, I think the days of getting more than 26 episodes of anything in a calendar year are pretty much unheard of.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, back in the day, Voltron, Defender of the Universe had been adapted from anime, so the pace of production could be higher. And then, you know, then you had these enormous powerhouses like Filmation just cranking out the 130 episodes of Masters of the Universe in 2 years. How they did that is beyond me. But generally speaking, yeah, getting anything more than 26 from any TV show is almost unheard of.
And I can tell you firsthand that the 200th episode of Teen Titans Go is coming out pretty soon. And Wow. They are celebrating that one a lot because, I mean, how often do you get to 200?
Yeah.
On a modern animated series?
Right.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah, we can only dream of Voltron getting to 200, but, you know, 78, that's pretty impressive.
Sure. Yeah.
So the third thing on the list was that Netflix will be debuting 10 episodes of Classic Voltron in March with more content added. So when they say more content added, you know, this is new content added to old classic episodes. Speculation right now is running rampant on the web. And we're hoping to get more information on this as it becomes available. But wow, this is exciting to see. 10 classic episodes with new content coming to Netflix in March.
So what do you guys think that this new content might be?
Pop-up video?
Great idea.
That is cool. Like VH1.
Yeah,
honestly, I can't imagine what it could be. I mean, they're not laying down new vocal tracks or anything, I'm sure.
Right. Lenny Weinrib has not been around for quite some time, unfortunately. Yeah.
Yes.
I basically let all the people with the fancy cameras take their pictures first because I was taking mine with the cell phone. And I heard them talk about it when they were doing it in a different group. But they were like very, very stern on don't leave your group. And my group didn't get the talk. So somewhere out there is someone who knows what the heck is going on. And I both want to be them and also meet them because I want to know. Because I heard them talking about it and I couldn't get through fast enough to like actually hear any context to what it was.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm going to share my two guesses. These are not informed by anyone. I have no inside track information on this. My first guess is that this will be that. Well, both of my guesses are that we will have HD transfers of Classic Voltron. To my knowledge, we have there's been certainly no video release of any of Classic Voltron in HD. But the first guess is that there will be Lion Force episodes that are unaltered, but that the extra content will be stuff on either side of the image to fill out the screen. You know, we have a 4x3 animated series that now has to fill a 16x9 screen. Just as Disney did with the Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs Blu-ray release, they had some, you know, pretty fancy artwork off to the sides. That's kind of the lame extra content. You know, relatively speaking, I just want to see it. I don't care what's on the sides. But my second guess is that it might be something much more ambitious. Maybe an all-new adaptation of Go Lion.
Yeah, that would be cool. That would be super cool.
What do you think of those ideas? Lame? Cool? What? I don't know. Grant, what are your thoughts?
If they pick 10 of the tamest episodes of Go Lion, perhaps?
I don't know. I mean, you look at season 2 thus far, and it had like 5 torture scenes in it. So it's like... It's crazy.
Let's just get the Red Braze episode. That's
Let's
hit everybody with that one.
I rewatched that recently. I thought, oh my word, how they got a 25-minute Voltron episode out of that is astounding.
Whenever I tell anybody about Go Lion, that's the YouTube clip I bring up.
Well, one thing that they didn't say in here is that are these going to be the first 10 episodes of what we saw back in 1984, or is this just going to be a selection of episodes that are redone?
I'm sure we'll get the origin story at least.
Yeah.
My guess is we're going to get the first 6. We'll probably get, my guess is going to be the first 8 up through Allura becoming the new Blue Lion pilot. And then Bokar briefly seeming as if he was going to become the Blue Lion pilot. And then it'll probably jump ahead. I suspect the 10th episode will be the one in which Lotor appears, where Urak is killed off and Lotor debuts, because it would sync up really well with the end of season 2 of Legendary Defender.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see that happening to kind of acclimate the newer fans to kind of what to expect in the coming season in September.
Yeah, it would certainly be interesting for today's audiences compared to, you know, 1984's audience, where they had these standards and practices, and if, in order to make it acceptable for children and stuff like that, they had to cut out a lot. If they didn't cut out as much this time around, you know, for today's audiences, would it still be something that would be considered for kids, or would it just be considered for families?
I have to wonder if some of the content in the 80s show would even fly by the TV Y7 standards of Legendary Defender. You know, we can laugh about some of the cornier dialogue and the space mice doing their funny stuff and all this, and Pidge's helium voice and all that. But, you know, some of the visual imagery, even after all the Golion, the most gruesome Golion material was cut, some of that imagery is still pretty powerful stuff. I mean, the skull motif on the fronts of the ships, this is the kind of stuff we haven't really seen since the Third Dimension. So I almost wonder if what we get next month will even be rated TV Y7. I wonder if they'll bump that up a bit.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to find out. All right, the fourth thing that was on the card was additional second screen content will be provided before Easter, with additional content occurring throughout the summer of 2017. Now, we're not really sure, but this could mean a tablet or smartphone app or other content accessed by a website. We're just guessing at this point, but typically when they talk about second screen content, that's usually what it is.
Are either of you familiar with the whole second screen thing?
I'm familiar with it from my time at Microsoft, and that seems to basically indicate what it is. That would be my assumption with it as well. But past that, I'm not really sure. I'm checking the licensing deal thing right now to see if I saw anything, to see if anybody, if there's any further information, to see if like any tech companies had gotten any kind of licensing for it.
Okay.
The reason that I can speculate this way is because other Netflix shows that have been done by DreamWorks, including Dino Trucks, had specific things that came out, like an app that included a game and additional content from the show. So that type of thing has already happened on previous Netflix shows that were done by DreamWorks, so I'm expecting that a similar thing would happen for Voltron.
Wow. So when you say additional content, you talked about games and all that, but is it possible we'll get additional scenes or things of that sort?
I don't know that for sure. You know, we're already getting another comic book series, mini-series, coming out for season 2.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So from Lion Forge Comics, expect more of, you know, Tim Hedrick and Mitch Iverson writing additional comic book issues that have to do with somewhere along season 2. Now, in the first round, they had done it. It was like right after episode 8, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So it was tucked right in there. We might get a similar type thing for season 2, where they found a spot right in the middle of the season where they could, you know, insert another, you know, adventure or whatever that happens in 5 issues of comic books.
Gotcha.
So I wouldn't expect that we'd get additional, like, any kind of, like, webisodes or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I am thinking that they would go into deeper information, maybe even, about the backstories of the characters. Or, you know, maybe we'll see the characters in a different perspective or something like that. I don't know. It's hard to speculate right now.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out pre-Easter.
I don't have high expectations for it. I think it'll just be maybe an app and some stuff, maybe something that might amuse younger viewers or might kind of fill that gap. But as far as me as kind of an older viewer, I'm not expecting too much from this.
Okay. How about you, Sarah?
I think what it's probably going to be, and I can't remember if I saw this on the flight over or if it was when I was like just binge watching stuff on my hotel thing, hotel TV. But there was an app basically where, I don't remember the show, but I think it was like Cartoon Network or it might have been DreamWorks, where basically your kid can go on the tablet and download this app. And then if you click the button at a certain time, you get this collectible item and you can use that within the app. And I have a feeling it's probably going to be something along those lines, just because you have so many kids right now that have tablets of some kind, you know, the $99, $50 tablets, or, you know, they're starting to become more prevalent. And I have a feeling it's probably going to be something like that, which, you know, for someone who watches the show anyway, you know, I'll probably do it because whatever, I have my tablet or my smartphone out with me whenever I'm watching stuff anyway. But I have a feeling it's probably going to be geared more towards getting kids engaged with the brand itself. And my guess is it'll probably tie into the toys that they're probably releasing. That would be like my guess as merchandising-y stuff goes.
Okay.
That makes sense. I just got a Facebook message from a fellow Voltron fan named Tim Roston. He and I have messaged through Facebook numerous times over the last several months. He's wondering if they announced anything about the MSRP for any of these new items.
Yes. So MSRP of the diecast, it's most likely going to start around $14.99, but they haven't actually confirmed. My guess is since those are prototypes and kind of new, you're probably going to look at... I could see maybe the smaller ones being $14.99. I have a feeling it's probably going to be like a similar price bracket as the ones that are already out, where black is like $35, but the smaller ones and the less complicated ones are a little bit less.
Okay.
So yeah, the MSRP of the diecast was probably around $14.99. So you're probably going to be paying a similar amount like you would if you collected the full ones that are out right now.
Okay.
MSRP of anything else, I don't believe they... gave us.
They had said that the Mega lines would be somewhere around 34, and then I think anything that's that basic figure size is usually around $10.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks for the answer. I will let them know, and of course we'll let them know through the podcast.
All right, thank you for sending us that link, Sarah.
Yeah, no, I just, that came up today and I wasn't sure if you guys had already seen it.
Yeah, can you imagine there would be pre-orders coming out for that Wave 2 already?
Oh, no, this is for the Paladin's Handbook.
No, I mean, what I'm saying is I think I saw earlier today a website that actually was trying to do pre-orders of this Wave 2 of toys.
Oh my gosh, that is jumping the gun a little bit.
Yeah, I think it is.
I would say so. Yeah, there are some third-party vendors that do indeed jump the gun. You go on eBay and you'll see, you know, anything that's got an image of any kind out there, there's going to be somebody trying to get people to pre-order it.
Yep.
Right.
Buyer beware.
What we're just trying to let people know is that they're not supposed to come out till fall of 2017. Pre-orders will probably not come out until later in the summer, right?
Yeah, I would expect like a 3-month lead time probably. So I wouldn't, 3 or 4 months before they're supposed to drop, I would say.
You're definitely going to get information from Playmates Toys first as to when pre-orders will be available. So trust me, they'll let you know when pre-orders are actually going on sale.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that we wanted to get to was the fifth thing on the card, and that's the last thing that was talking about cross-category marketing events that will be occurring throughout the year, including a Burger King kids meal promotion.
Woohoo!
So we can't wait to see Voltron Legendary Defender everywhere we go, but until then, we're going to get some of these cross-category marketing events. So Burger King kids meal toys. And then also, we already know about Puzzle and Dragons is having a mashup with Voltron.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know anything else beyond that, right?
No, but that's really cool. I'm excited for the Burger King stuff.
Yeah, me too. As far as I recall, we have never had a fast food tie-in product for Voltron, except in the Philippines. There was a chain called Jollibee roughly 10 years ago that had a set of lions that were very closely based on the Toynami molds. But other than that, not even in the 1980s heyday have we had a Voltron tie-in in a fast food place.
Was that tiny little wind-up one?
No, the Jollibee lions were 5 plastic articulated lions that could form Voltron. They basically are based loosely on the Toynami masterpiece mold, but they've been downsized, and of course the quality of the material is just not there compared to Toynami.
What year was that?
It must have been after the 20th anniversary release that Toynami had in 2004.
Wow, I didn't realize it was in the 2000s.
Yeah. 2004 was the 20th anniversary release of the Masterpiece Voltron, and I believe the Jollibee fast food tie-ins came out probably in the mid to late 2000s.
Wow.
For some reason, I thought the Jollibee was like 90s or something.
Yeah, if you take a look at some of the photos of those items, they're definitely based on the Toynami designs.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was the list of things that they had on the wall at the Playmates Toys booth at New York Toy Fair. We have the picture of it that Sarah took. But like we said, all these things are subject to change. So just because they've planned on these things happening and happening at certain times and stuff like that, things could change.
Right. I can't wait for the Whopper Voltron. That's all I can say.
All right. So is there anything else related to Toy Fair that you guys wanted to talk about? Was there anything we missed?
I don't think there's anything we missed. I know before we started it, I was mentioning the process that they probably go through when it comes to getting these products out and such.
Yeah, can you expand on that?
Yeah, it's really interesting. So if they're working on a 12-month timeline, I would assume, my guess is that there's probably 2 months development just getting something, like getting something actually down. When I talked to the gentleman who was kind of hosting the booth, he mentioned that basically they ended up having to go and buy up like all of the old toys that they could possibly find to kind of see how they had been done in the past. So there was basically someone whose job was to buy those toys, and I wish that was me, because they just bought out everything that they could possibly find. And the cool thing about it is, since the CGI for the actual show was done before most of this, the reason they were able to kind of shrink down the lead time and the actual development time was because they were provided the CGI in advance. And like, if you watch the actual transformation sequences, they're just super detailed. Like, it's really cool. So if they already were dealing with that asset art, being able to kind of make those is super important. Like, having CGI asset art to work off of to then develop 3D modeling and rendering is just that, like, as someone who designs stuff, like, that's just a perfect dream. Like, you don't usually always get that. And so usually the general process is like the initial designs are kind of submitted to, like, Playmates would submit their specs to both China or wherever they get them manufactured. And this is, again, disclaimer, this is me speaking from when we do merchandising, so I don't know exactly how they do it, but it can kind of give you an idea. So they send it off to China to kind of get some rough mock-ups done. They also send it to Playmates. Playmates will, some, you know, might say, hey, make this a little bigger, make this a little smaller. Eventually, they get a working model, and that basically is sent to Playmates. And my guess is, if it works anything like how we do it, you probably do some tweaks before you send it back to the client, because there's always going to be things that kind of get lost in translation. So there's, especially with something this difficult, and especially with things that are like articulated and this complicated, my guess is they've probably gone through a couple runs of revisions. And then if they're working on that 12-month development time, Chinese New Year probably affected that as well. But the coolest thing about it is, this is the first time they get, the gentleman that I was speaking to for the Legendary series, this is the first time they've actually been able to get the leg to actually fold up into the arm. So like, if you look at your older toys, they kind of do like that weird like claw like foldy business.
Right.
But these ones, since they were able to work off the CGI that was delivered to them, it obviously shortened the development time, but it also made it so it's, you know, show accurate, which is kind of, he mentioned that it had never happened before. I can't verify that, because I'm not sure, because I don't own all the other toys, but I would be inclined to believe him.
Yeah, I don't remember any of these toys actually ever being able to completely hide the feet and legs.
Yeah.
Right. That's correct.
So that's really cool. So my guess is, anything that's not final, like if you look at some of the pictures out there, it says it's not the final copy. My guess is they've probably got an additional round of revisions to go through. And then you've also got, you know, the influx of everyone trying to get their orders in post Chinese New Year and trying to kind of catch up on everything. So, you know, that sampling process, getting something sent from the manufacturer over and through, and then getting it through customs, and customs a lot of the time just loves to flag these things and like go through every single box, because if it's for kids, basically I have to have a bunch of paperwork that proves like if a child eats this, they're not going to die. Like, you know,
right.
So, okay. You know, anything related to kids is probably going to get flagged by customs. And you never know when that's going to happen. There's nothing you can do about it. It basically goes off of a separate number that identifies it as a child's item. So, you know, you might see, if everything goes well, you might see some people get theirs early and you might see some get those theirs later. It really just depends on how they're importing and kind of how their approval process goes. So, yeah, you know, we're probably going to see, you know, the revisions and stuff like that. So anything that isn't marked as final, you're probably going to see a couple of tweaks and changes as they get the revision process done, but by and large, what we've seen so far for the timeline they've been working under has been really cool.
All right, one last thing that we had a question for, that obviously there's a lot of fans out there that live in other countries other than the United States, and they wanted to know, when might they start seeing their Playmates toys coming to their areas? So you did ask that question, right?
Yes.
Okay, and what was the answer?
So for wave one of toys going international and solid dates and times for countries and regions, Diecast is due out to be in August for us in the United States. The Paladin series is due in October, which is those two little bars that you see in the picture I took of the graph in time for store resets. What's already out, so all the stuff that we already have should be out in Canada within a month. The fun thing is I still don't have my Black Lion. Everything else I've gotten in kind of every couple weeks. So I know that there's still some people who haven't gotten those, and that was partially because of Chinese New Year. Mm-hmm. So people who don't have theirs yet, you know, I'm with you. I want it too. But we should be seeing those filter into us probably mid-March is when those will start coming in through once the importing process and such is done. And then for other international besides Canada, he mentioned that they were working on Italy in the summer and other venues were still in progress.
All right. So no mention of UK or Australia or Philippines or anything like that.
Nope. I mentioned and he said they were still working on it.
Wow. Yeah.
I've heard some people griping at Playmates Toys for these toys not being available yet in their countries. And let me reassure everyone out there, if Playmates Toys could have them on your shelves right now, they would.
Yeah, there's no one that wants them to be in the hands of people who will pay for them more than Playmates.
Yeah, that's true. But it does take a while, and I'm sure there are certain clearances that they have to get in other countries.
Yeah, importing into all sorts of other countries is kind of a nightmare. Getting anything through different kinds of customs and then making sure you have all the different approvals and that you have, you know, this guideline cleared and that, you know, you've done the proper testing and you're speaking to people who know how the importing process goes. Because every once in a while, depending on what kind of importer you use, they don't actually know how to import toys or things meant for children. And so it's kind of a grab bag of like what could possibly go wrong, even though you've done everything right. Mm-hmm. So if there's any delays, I like, as someone who has to deal with importing on a weekly basis and it makes me want to tear my hair out, it's not their fault. I guarantee you they have probably done everything in their power to A, get it into other countries and B, get it through customs and get it into the hands of people who want it because it is a nightmare dealing with customs.
Wow.
And this is probably why Megatron has never turned into a handgun since 1984.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Can you imagine if customs found one of those?
Yeah,
you're actually wrong. This is my other fandom, and there have been some Megatron guns.
Oh, nice.
Well, there've been Nerf guns and the Nerf gun Megatron from the Generations line, and there's the teeny tiny Legends size one, and then of course the Masterpiece one. But you're having to import that one. I mean, at great risk.
Masterpiece one is that's only imported. You're right. But yes, you those are the ones I was talking about. There have been guns before, but yes.
So for Voltron fans, let's get back to that.
Oh yeah, Voltron. Yeah.
For our international fans here, there may be ways to go through direct suppliers where, yes, you may have to pay a little bit extra for shipping. That is a possibility if you're willing to do that. If you're not willing to pay that extra for that extra shipping and stuff like that, then it's obvious that you're going to have to wait. And we hate the fact that we have to say that, but that's just the facts as they're placed before us.
Right.
Yep.
We're sorry that you have to be so patient to get these wonderful Playmates toys, but we can guarantee they are wonderful.
Yes.
They are.
I want to thank Sarah and Grant for joining us on the podcast and for giving us a detailed report on what they saw at the Playmates Toys booth at New York Toy Fair. So thank you guys for joining us.
Of course. Thank you for having me again.
Yeah, no, this is great.
Yeah, and you're both welcome back at any time. Thanks again.
Awesome. Sounds great. Good. Thank you so much.
So Greg, that was great that we got a couple of people that were like our on-the-spot reporters. You know, that we're able to get inside the booth for Playmates Toys at New York Toy Fair. And that was just an incredible experience just to relive it through their eyes.
Yes, I hope to one day live through Toy Fair through my own eyes. But this was the next best thing. And I'm so grateful that we were able to speak with Sarah and Grant about this. So thanks to you both again for sharing your experiences with us here on the podcast.
Yes, you can't get this kind of information just anywhere. And like they were saying, this is a trade show. This is not a fan show. So this is very much just for the people who are in the know about toys. You know, the buyers, the sellers, the press, and all that kind of stuff. We're there to get firsthand what's going on with the new toys in the market. So Playmates Toys is the exclusive license for toys for Voltron Legendary Defender right now.
Yes, and wow, what an amazing array of toys that will be coming out later this year.
Right. We also have some people that you talked to that actually have played with some of these toys, right?
Yes, my two nephews, Cody and Corey, who were on the podcast previously to help us review the Voltron Legendary Defender episode Collection and Extraction. I went to their home about an hour's drive from my house on Monday of this week to chat with them about their Voltron Legendary Defender toys. I was buying those toys like mad for our review purposes on the podcast and because, well, I'm a toy hoarder. Yeah, so I bought an extra set of Legendary Lions and gave them to them within the last 3 weeks or so. And so I finally got a chance to go out there and we recorded sort of an off-the-cuff discussion of those toys. I wanted to get kids' perspectives on what these toys are like. So why don't we play what I recorded with Cody and Corey?
All right. Well, thank you for doing that, first off. And I appreciate that because we not only want to get an adult perspective on these toys, but we want to get the kids' perspective because that's who the show is going to be marketed to.
Right.
And especially these toys that Playmates Toys is making, it's going to be marketed towards kids. And if you've seen some of the packaging, it says things like, you know, four and up.
Right. And so, right. And we happen to be four and way up, but kids are four and a lot less up. So yeah, it's really important to get kids' perspectives. So that's why I thought we'd chat with them.
All right. So let's play this interview that you did with your nephews, Cody and Corey.
Yeah. If you've watched any of the YouTube reviews of the new Voltron Legendary Defender toys, you've probably noticed that most of them were made by grown-ups. Mark Morrell worked with his son, Lucas, to review the Ultimate Voltron figure, but that might be it across all of YouTube. Since these toys are, well, toys, Mark and I thought it would be great to hear what kids have to say about them. With that in mind, I'm here with my nephews, Cody and Corey. Cody and Corey, welcome back to Let's Voltron, the official Voltron podcast.
Hi!
So to refresh everyone's memory, how old are each of you?
I'm 8.
And I am 11.
Cody and Corey were guests in episode 79, where they helped us out, as well as our guest Zilla, in reviewing the Voltron Legendary episode Collection and Extraction. So now we're here to talk about toys. Now, you guys have a set of all five of the Legendary Lions, is that right?
Uh-huh.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
So what do you guys think of those things?
I like them.
Amazing.
The toys form this big 16-inch Voltron. What are some of the things that you like most about them?
Everything.
Everything. That's good. What about you?
I like it that the speeders, that they actually contain the speeders and the line weapons that go on the backs and the speeders.
Yeah, that's cool stuff. Do you guys have a favorite of the lion weapons?
Honks.
You like yellow lions, the thing that shoots the discs?
Yeah.
In the show, it would probably be blues, and the toys, it would be honks, because the discs fire.
Yeah, they've got a lot more oomph to them, don't they?
Yes.
And so, the Black Lion doesn't have a weapon, but it has those crazy big wings. What do you guys think of those?
I think they look good.
Yeah?
I think they fit him.
Black's got the electronics. The V on the chest lights up. And it makes all those different sounds and bits of dialogue and all that. Do you guys like that?
Yes. It is very, very cool. I really like it.
Do you think the lions have enough articulation where you can do stuff with the legs and tail and all that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any favorite poses you put those things in?
Yes.
Oh, definitely. Do you? What would you say is a favorite lion pose for you?
Basically the normal one.
Yeah. What about the mouths? You kind of dig the mouths, how they snap shut?
Yeah, those are pretty cool.
Yeah. Have they ever bitten your finger off or anything like that?
Yes.
It's a good thing you have spares, right? Then the lions form Voltron. Does that work out pretty well, putting them together?
Yeah. Yes. Except with Green Lion pulling him off when you're taking him apart. That's very, 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 can be very stubborn.
Yeah. Same for you, you think?
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I never really use Green Lantern. I mostly use Red.
Oh, so you guys have kind of split the lions apart between the two of you?
Not really. We take turns with them, and we just like using them to all.
Do you normally have Black Lion switched on when you put the lions together, or switched off?
A lot of times when we play with them, the TV is on, and we only turn them on during commercial break because it's kind of disrupting to have Black Lion saying, "Farm Shield!"
What do you think of those little speeders? You like those little things? I know you, Cody, you said that you like those, right?
Yeah, they're really cool.
I like them.
Yeah. I think it's kind of neat that we've got itty-bitty little paladins to play with there. When you get all four of the lions attached to the Black Lion, you hear the voice of Shiro saying various things. What does Shiro say?
Like red, green, black, blue, yellow, all the colors. And then all the lions, like, say they're ready for action or...
Or, honk, we need the yellow lion. And it's super annoying.
What would you say if you only had Black Lion and one of the other lions, and you just attach that lion, and you hear Shiro about every 30 seconds saying, "We need this lion," one of them that you don't have. What would that be like?
I don't know, really.
I've never experienced it, so.
I was thinking, doggone it, after I get my next allowance, maybe I'll have that lion.
I thought of something funny. Paige was stuck, and I had pulled off all the other lions, and I'm like, what should I do? I know, I'll ask Shiro. And so I press the sound button and he says, "Hunk, we need the yellow lion." And I just thought that was really funny.
The combined robot. You like the posability overall?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is there any posability you wish it had that it doesn't have?
Not really.
Yeah?
Not
that's,
really.
That's cool. You got a cool dog. What kind of dog is Charky?
A beagle.
A beagle. Has Voltron ever taken on the Dachshund Beagle Robeast?
No.
Okay.
I think that'd be the pretty easiest Robeast to defeat. He'd probably lay down and just like say, "Will you rub my tummy?"
And if Voltron was up against our Dachshund Beagle, he would probably ask Voltron for a carrot.
When you press the button on the side of the Black Lion when they're all put together, it makes different sounds. You like those?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any of the other Voltron Legendary Defender toys at all? Have you seen any in the stores?
I've only seen the Black Lion.
Yeah, only the Black Lion.
Actually, I might have seen Sword Attack Voltron.
The Sword Attack one? They still seem hard to find in some of the stores, yeah. Especially the Combining Lions. So what would you guys like to see the most out of Voltron Legendary Defender toys?
Probably like a playset where, like, I can't name any of the planets.
Maybe the Castle of Lions?
Yeah.
Yeah? Would you like to see that thing so that you could pick it up and fly it around like a castle ship, or would it be okay just as the castle?
I think it would be okay just as the castle.
Or maybe they could make a big rock and call it the Balmera. What do you think of that?
I thought it would be nice to see lions that combine, but not just the legendary lions, but also able to form like the shield out of the wings and the shoulder cannon and all the Voltron's weapons. And also I thought if they had the different sword, the flaming one, the big giant one, and the normal one.
Would you like to see any supersized Robeasts for this thing to fight?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you had to pick one that would be legendary Voltron size, what would it be?
I don't know. All of them, really.
What about you, Corey? You got a favorite?
I don't know.
You know, I forgot to ask. Out of all five of those lions, do you guys have a favorite lion?
Probably yellow.
He also kind of looks like a bulldog. I don't know. They all look amazing.
And I also like the armor on his back.
He looks like he can take a licking and keep on ticking.
I like them all.
Well, Cody, Corey, thanks again for coming back on the podcast and talking with your Uncle Greg about Voltron Legendary Defender.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, that was the conversation that I had earlier this week with Cody and Corey. I want to thank them both for sharing their thoughts about these cool toys. I think they liked those toys even more than I do, and that's saying a lot.
Is that even possible?
I don't know. You know, Grant had talked about having a bunch of Voltrons on his desk and throughout his house. And I'm certainly in the same boat, although mine are confined to this one room because, you know, I can't have Voltron take over the entire universe that's this house. But Cody and Corey are definitely of the toy buying and toy playing with age. And so, you know, it's so exciting to see genuine bona fide kids like your son, Lucas, and like these, like Cody and Corey and my daughter, Quinn, really enjoying these toys along with the show.
Well, you know, it would be really cool if Cody and Corey could do a little 15-second video that they might want to do for a particular commercial that we're planning on putting together.
Oh, yeah, the sweepstakes. You know, I ought to talk with them about that. They might win.
Yeah, I mean, it's perfectly reasonable for them to put together a 15-second video of them playing with the toys. Just saying.
What a great idea, Mark. I will get on that.
And then maybe we could use that as an example for everybody else who hasn't entered yet, so that they can get that 15-second video together. And then, you know, this would be a great way to, you know, get people interested in participating in a sweepstakes where they could win actual Playmates toys.
Yeah, you know, there are people who win $1 million. There are people who win a car. But you know what? When it comes down to it, don't we all really want to win Voltron Legendary Defender toys? Come on.
Yes. Yes, we do.
Yes. And this is a great and easy way to do it.
Yes. So go back to your nephews and talk to them about it and see if they can do that for us.
I will totally do that. Great idea, Mark.
That'd be awesome. So, and I want to thank them for doing that recording with you so that we could get, you know, the rest of the people that listen to this podcast to understand that kids are really big into these as well.
Yeah, it's almost like toys were made for them.
Yeah. They don't usually make midnight sales for toys for kids, though.
You know what I'm saying?
Have you ever gone to any of the Star Wars midnight sales that they have at like Toys R Us or something like that?
No, and the reason is this. I love Star Wars, but the prequels just didn't do it for me. And so even though I really enjoyed the Force Awakens and I loved Rogue One, I just didn't get that toy vibe back with Star Wars like I once did. So have you gone to some of those?
I actually have. I've actually been to a midnight sale, and I got to tell you, there's no kids there. It's just adults that are really big into toys, and some of them are really big into just reselling toys.
Oh, yeah.
So the people that are at the front of the line are the ones that are interested in just grabbing things off the shelves and then reselling them later. Huh. But that's because they were the first ones to get their hands on them. There's also other people out there who are very interested in just keeping up with their collection and, you know, getting one that they can open and one that they can keep mint in box.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely in that boat. I've got two of every Legendary Lion and at least one of every one of the other toys for this wave, this first wave. I generally don't do that with toys, but Voltron is an exception to the rule.
Right. I'm also one of those people who has a son that is of an age that could play with toys, although he's getting to be in the older echelon at this point. He's become a teenager.
Wow. Time flies.
But it doesn't mean he doesn't like toys just as much as any other kid out there.
That's good. And on the subject of toys and Star Wars, I'd like to take a very, very quick detour and give a nod to our friends at Retro Blasting. They are in active production of a feature video about the Star Wars Rogue One toys. And so this is a somewhat unique for them. They usually focus exclusively on retro toy and video content. But they're going to be looking at the Rogue One toys, comparing and contrasting them with the vintage Kenner Star Wars toys. So this is a non-Voltron item, but we're good friends with Retro Blasting, and I thought I'd mention it since we're talking about toys.
That is a different spin on things, to compare the retro toys with the new toys. I mean, that's almost something you could do with the Voltron stuff as well.
Oh, yes, and don't think I haven't thought about doing that. You know, we've had a ridiculously phenomenal response to the video review that we did of the Legendary Lions. We're now at over 200,000 views on YouTube, which blows our minds, doesn't it?
Yes, that is just incredible. It has over 700 likes. And what I've heard is that if you get to 1,000 likes on a video on YouTube, that's like a gold star kind of thing, you know?
Wow.
But, you know, so if you can get a little bit more people to look at those videos and give us a like on those, that would be great. You know, like, get totally. Us to that 1,000 like total. That would be really cool. But we are just blown away by over 200,000 views on this.
Yeah. And I have some ideas for some future videos for our YouTube channel. I'm just waiting on the time to work on some of those. So one of the ideas that's at the top of my list is to make a video version of the Voltron 101 podcast. I think that might be of enough general interest to get some folks to tune in. But we'll see what happens as time and opportunity present themselves.
Right. And you know, there's other things, obviously, that are going to be happening. You know, we're going to WonderCon next month.
Yes.
And there will be interviews that will be happening as part of WonderCon. So obviously, we're going to be there with the cast and crew again. So you can count on those videos coming out on our YouTube channel. And we have seen a burst of subscribers as well, you know, from that 200,000 views on that one. But we also did, you know, other toy reviews from that first line of Playmates toys too. So we have four videos that are specific to the Playmates toys. We also still have a whole bunch of interviews that are out there from previous conventions, from previous WonderCon, previous San Diego Comic-Con and stuff like that. So we are coming out with new content on our YouTube channel, so get prepared for that.
Yeah, check them out. Like them, share them, watch them over and over again. Hey, they're a lot of fun. We certainly had fun making these things, and we're flattered that many people have enjoyed watching them as we've enjoyed making them.
Right. Can you imagine what we'd be doing if we were in the same town together?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah,
I think we'd be making our wives very angry.
Yeah. Yeah, so probably.
Maybe it's good that we're about 10 hours drive apart. Anyway.
Now, you can only get together with Greg a couple times a year. That's it, Mark. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're looking forward to obviously a lot more of the toy information coming out as we go through this year, this wonderful year of 2017. So all these things that we talked about in this podcast, like we said before, are subject to change. So don't forget that.
Right.
If we get some very specific information from either Playmates Toys or DreamWorks or Netflix, we will let you know.
Absolutely.
So until then, don't forget to enter our Voltron Retro Commercial Sweepstakes, okay? It's
right.
just a 15-second video that you have to send to us in email at letsvoltronpodcast@gmail.com. And we trust us, if you get this in here, you're probably going to be a part of the final 30-second commercial.
Yes, I think that's a given. And also, for the official rules.
The official rules for the Voltron Retro Commercial Sweepstakes are at letsvoltron.com/85.
Awesome. So everyone, go there now, check it out, and let's get creative with our cell phone cameras.
Right. So we're looking forward to seeing those, and we are going to be extending the contest. So we had said before that it was going to end on February 24th. Well, guess what? We're extending that. Indefinitely until we get enough of these entries, okay?
Yeah, we realize that it takes a lot of effort, or at least feels like it takes a lot of effort to shoot a video. It really doesn't. But because of that extra perceived effort, we're sensitive to that. And so you've got some more time to work on those. Please get those in. We look forward to each and every entry.
Yes. If you've been listening to our podcast, you know that we've already covered episode one, which was Across the Universe,
mm-hmm.
and episode two, which was The Depths.
Yes.
After this New York Toy Fair episode, we are going to be doing a character study of Shiro.
That should be a lot of fun.
And we know that Shiro's birthday is February 29th, but we also have another episode that we've already reviewed, and that one is called Shiro's Escape.
Yes, we've reviewed it, but it has not yet been released, but that's coming very soon.
So after this New York Toy Fair podcast, you can count on a couple things that really deal with Shiro pretty intently.
Yes. And, you know, with Shiro's birthday being on February 29th, let's not tell him to go take a flying leap. We all love him. We want to see him again.
Yes, we want. Have you seen the missing Shiro signs?
I have not. What do they look like?
It's like missing children reports or stuff like that. It's, you know, Shiro is missing kind of things. You know, they're cropping up all over the web.
Okay, that's funny. I got to go out and Google for those right after we're done recording.
Yeah, people are really missing him, and they can't wait for him to come back.
Yeah, very cool. Shiro is awesome. Voltron Legendary Defender is awesome. And Voltron at large is awesome.
And of course, all of our listeners are awesome. We thank you for joining us once again on Let's Voltron, the official Voltron podcast.
Absolutely.
And we'll see you all next time on
Let's Voltron.